You are now listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Listen live as we discuss the Punch TV Studios IPO 2.0, funding for your film, acting in film and television, new affiliate stations, and all things Punch TV Studios. Meet the stars of your favorite Punch TV Studios film and television shows and find out how you can be a part of the company that is revolutionizing media. Call 657-383-1974 and join in on the conversation. And now your host, Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins. We have an amazing, 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 amazing show for you today. This show today is going to be a little different. We're going to start with some guests, but then we're going to open the conversation to questions and comments because we have a really hot topic that we want to discuss today. I am your co-host, Sharifa Hardy, and I am going to be wowing you today. Before we go too much further into the show, we want to remind you that this show you definitely want to tweet, post it on your social media, post it on Facebook, LinkedIn, let everyone know to tune in to Changing the Conversation. We're going to stop for a brief commercial break, and then we will be right back.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki? As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the filmmakers group at Nabuki.com and network with industry professionals. Do you, Nabuki?
CEO Joseph Collins and Punch TV Studios have been broadcasting for the last 8 years, and for the last 2 years, Punch TV Studios has been producing TV shows and movies for license to major studios and TV networks all over the world. You can purchase your IPO stocks today for only $1 per share as they near their fourth quarter deadline. You could be a part of history as Punch TV Studios vies to be the first African-American owned company on the New York Stock Exchange. Join the Punch TV movement and be part owner for only $1 per share. That's $1 per share. Don't delay, because there is a limited amount of stock for a limited amount of time. So call them today at 310-419-5914. 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. For more information, you can visit them online at punchtvstudios.com. That's punchtvstudios.com.
Thank you for tuning in again today. We have an amazing show. We're going to get deep into the discussion today. We're going to be discussing the new movie that's out. It's hot. It raked in over $30 million in the box office this weekend, and that's Girls Trip. We're going to be discussing Girls Trip, the pros, the cons, Dr. Boyce Watkins' response to the movie, our thoughts here at Punch TV Studios. But before we get to that discussion, we have a couple of guests joining us in the Punch Bowl this morning. We have quite a few listeners on the line. If you just want to listen to the show, that's absolutely fine. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you want to jump into the Punch Bowl, please press 1. So we know you want to join the conversation. If you're listening to this show on your computer and you want to join the conversation, feel free, give us a call, 657-383-1974. 1974. Again, that number is 657-383-1974. Press 1, jump into the punch bowl, join one of the hottest discussions around. But before we get into that discussion, we're going to welcome our first guest. Our first guest is Mr. Charles Pulliam. He's the Chief Development Officer for Life School. Good morning, Mr. Pulliam. How are you?
I'm doing outstanding today. Good morning. How are you?
I am excellent. Thank you for joining us in the Punch Bowl. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about Life School and what you have going on.
Yeah, well, Life School is a charter school, and we actually are primarily located in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but rapidly expanding to other areas right now. We're a system that's comprehensive, meaning it's K through 12. Many of the things that a child might be able to experience in a traditional school system, they would be able to experience with us. The only real difference is the focus on leadership and character development, and I can give you more details about that as our conversation goes on. But we just have a different school environment that prepares children by broadening their worldviews to let them to lead them to have hope and the ability to function within society in a way that makes them leaders and then with strong character. And that's ultimately what we do.
Okay, for our listeners who aren't aware, can you give us the difference between a public school, private school, and a charter school?
Sure, absolutely. First of all, a charter school is a public school, meaning that it's generally funded by state and federal funds. It is free of charge to any students that attend. But it just so happens that each charter school makes a contract with the government that says, this is what I'm going to do unique and special for my students. It might not be a part of what they might find in other school systems around. A private school does the same thing, other than they don't have a contract with the government, and there's cost associated. And so our founder used to say a lot that this is basically a private school education for free.
So your charter school, the unique aspect is the leadership.
Leadership and character development, right. And actually,
okay.
We have 15 leadership profiles or traits that we want a student to have when they graduate our school. These are things like social emotional intelligence, self awareness, collaboration, communication skills, many of the things that they're going to need in their futures. And so, we, over time, from the time they were in kindergarten through the time that they graduate our school system, well, then we spend lots of time kind of building these traits into them. And so, they can walk into any aspect of society and not only get along but thrive.
How long has the school been around?
Well, for about 20 years now. We'll be celebrating our 20-year anniversary this next year in 2018. We were established in 1998 by Dr. Tom Wilson.
Okay. Now, in 1998, what was the drastic need to create a school focused mainly on leadership and building character?
Yeah, that is such an interesting question, because there's two answers to that. One is that the federal and state government felt as though they wanted to provide a mechanism for school systems to be innovative. As you may know, then a lot of times a school system operates somewhat like a government entity, meaning that it's not nimble. And it's not fast in terms of change. It's not a good or bad thing. It's just a little difficult to change things in kind of a government type environment. And so what they did is they allowed legislation for these more privately run schools that are still public schools to be able to be innovative and to be basically a test bed for educational ideas that hopefully would benefit all the educational system in the United States. So that's the broader reason why and the broader driver. But the specific driver for Life School is that our founder was a pastor in Oak Cliff in the Dallas area, just South Dallas area. And if you know anything about the South Dallas area, there was a period of time where it was noted as the murder capital of the United States. And so it was a really difficult environment. And so what happened is he had a private Christian school that was there, but as kind of time went on, the student population started to dwindle because the population around the school could not really afford to go to the private school. Yet he was still doing youth programs and that sort of thing in the community. It just so happens that there were two young men that were involved in his youth program that decided to join rival gangs. And through this process, one of the young men was challenged by his gang to kill his cousin in the other gang to prove his loyalty. And he followed through with that. And that young man killed his cousin and is now in prison. And so that drove our founder to say, I've got to be able to have more of an impact on these kids. If a child has hope, if they have leadership, if they have character, they're going to be less likely to pick up a gun and kill their brother. And so he immediately started to search for a way to build a school system that would allow all kids to come and would be able to allow him to do the things he felt necessary to build leadership and character in them. He started that process in 1995, and then he was finally able, through the approval process, to get the doors open in 1998, starting with 15 employees and about 200 students. We now have 650 employees and nearly 6,000 students in our system.
Wow, wow, that is amazing. I mean, congratulations. That's the only thing that I can say is definitely congratulations. And I love
Thank
the
you.
Fact that you are focused on, you're welcome, on leadership, because I'm not
right.
really familiar with Texas or the Dallas area, but being in
mm-hmm.
Los Angeles and being in California,
yes.
one of the most popular things now are students being homeschooled. Again,
yes.
I don't know how popular that is in Texas, but here, I mean, almost everyone you talk to, like, now I'm homeschooling. But one of the things that
mm-hmm.
I noticed, I have actually a neighbor who has been homeschooling her son for years, and he's very intelligent. He actually was the valedictorian for his graduation, the high school graduation. But when he
mm-hmm.
went to give his speech, he literally broke down in tears. He was so mm-hmm. nervous that because he wasn't used to being in front of so many different people that he
right.
was unable to give the speech. They actually had to escort
right.
him off of the stage because even
mm-hmm.
though he had the academia, he didn't have the personal skills or the social skills that he needed. And I was kind of wondering about that because we always teach, you know, the children, but how do they socialize? How do they interact? So I'm glad to see that you're instilling leadership skills and character building skills into the youth.
That's right. You know, it's interesting that story that you tell. First of all, to kind of answer your question about homeschooling, you know, we believe at Life School, we really don't care who educates the kids. We just want them to be educated well, and we think there's probably a place for homeschooling in some instances. But one of the primary things that we focus on when we talk about leadership and character development is social-emotional intelligence and skill. And so that requires interaction with other people, and especially people from diverse backgrounds and that sort of thing. And so we hope that we can provide an environment in which we can be in the society and have kids interact with one another from all different walks of life and train them up in that environment, because that's the environment they're going to be in once they graduate. So it's very interesting also that I was just at a conference about maybe a month and a half ago in Utah, and it's a Arizona State University Global Silicon Valley Summit. And basically, these are all these tech startup companies and tech companies that are interested in putting technology in schools. But also, you have companies like LinkedIn, for instance. And I'm mentioning LinkedIn because their CEO gave a presentation in which he said that we are preparing students for jobs that don't exist. We're preparing them for a society that we're not aware of. So what is it going to take? What can we do as educators now to prepare them for that? Well, their ability to interact with other people, collaborate, communicate, lead, have strong character, ethics, work ethic, that sort of thing, is going to be the key for them being successful then, because it doesn't make sense for us to train them in the latest and greatest software, because that's going away within probably months, you know. And so it's better to teach them the things that's going to allow them to get along in society and thrive. And so that's what we're trying to do.
And on your list of 15 things, what would you say are the top most important that you're teaching? And how do you go about teaching?
I'm going to just pull up some information on my computer while I tell you that. I'm working on some presentations to kind of help with that process right now in getting our teachers to understand how to have these character traits themselves before they try to teach them to a child. But I'll give you some examples. Collaboration, being self-aware, having a global perspective, like being a problem solver, having humility and self-awareness. Those types of things are the intangibles that it takes for, and there's 15 total. I didn't list them all for you, but those types of things are going to allow a student or a citizen to walk into a group of people, make an assessment of what is happening in terms of the way people are behaving and acting and speaking, and be able to get in there and to be productive and to be able to collaborate with those groups of people, even if they bring different thoughts and ideas to the table. They're going to be able to listen and ultimately going to be able to make decisions and solve problems collaboratively with others. And most importantly is the self-awareness, meaning that I understand my strengths and weaknesses. Right, and it doesn't mean that they will always be the same, but I understand at this point in time what my strengths or weaknesses are, and basically what I'll do is I'll play to my strengths in these environments, and I'll team up or collaborate to my weaknesses, and that way we'll be able to be successful in groups.
Wow, that's a lot of information. And so the students learn this all the way beginning in kindergarten.
Absolutely. That's right. And so we make it age appropriate, and not even age. Let me not say that. It's not. It's capability appropriate, right? Because it's a possibility that you have a group of kindergartners that are stellar, that are ready for the next level of training as it relates to these traits. We don't want to hold them back because of their age or what grade they are. But the system is set up to support the modeling primarily of these traits throughout their educational career in elementary school and secondary. And then that all culminates with a year-long project that they do as seniors, to which it's called the senior project. And basically what they do is they take all of the profile traits that they've learned over the year, and they do research about things that they're interested in terms of careers or career paths or industry and that sort of thing. And they go out and they have to find people that are in these industries. They have to talk to them, communicate with them, find out what their environments are like, find out what it's like to be that thing or to be in that environment. And then they have to take this information and they have to present it to a group, to a panel. And that panel is made up of business and community leaders. They have to get up with a presentation. They're dressed, you know, to the nines. And they get up there, and based on training that we give them about presentations, they're able to put this presentation out there and communicate some ideas and let us know kind of what they've discovered and what the self-discovery was in the process. And, you know, it's great being on those panels because just last year there were a couple of students that got up and gave them, and when it was done, when it was over, they just burst into tears. And they were like, this has been the most fulfilling and difficult thing I've ever done, but I feel like I'm prepared to go out and tackle anything. And so that's how we know whether or not they have the things that we want them to have through the process. Now, I don't want to paint a picture of us being a perfect school system, because we're not. You know, we've got things we want to continue to work on and grow in. But I will tell you that it will be absolutely evident as you walk into any of our schools, so 5 elementary schools, 2 junior high schools, and two high schools, you will feel the difference in the environment. The peer pressure is such that kids force the people, the kids that are there, to work on these things. You know, it's just normal in our environment. You know, you have kids walking up to you, looking in the eye, and shake your hand, and find out what you're about, and tell you the same about themselves. And it's normal in these school systems because it's just they've been brought up that way.
Okay. What about statistics? You've been doing this for 20 years.
Yes.
From your graduates, have you seen any marked statistics where you can show that because of your guidance, because of the classes and specific focus that you have, these students have been able to go on and be more successful or get their, you know, what are some of the results that you have?
Yeah. Well, besides, I'll just give you these. For the last 4, maybe 5 years running, we've had 100% graduation rates, 100% college acceptance. We know that 80% of our students are still in college after 2 years, which is far beyond what most people are doing. And then also we have hired now 15, maybe 17 of our former graduates to work in our school system. They've come back in various aspects, in IT, they're teachers, they're working in facilities and operations, in accounting. These children have come back, and it's very hard to get to work for us. I want you to know that. You know, we don't just hire anyone. You know, we hire about 1 in 10 of the people that apply to us because we want the best within the school system, but they've been able to come back through the system and give back in that way. And then lastly, what we do every year is we put out an annual magazine that kind of talks about some of the stories of what our kids are doing. And I will make sure that you all get copies of some of those magazines, and so you can see we've got kids impacting the world, literally impacting the world right now. And it's evident, and well, not just by what they're doing, but by what they say. We had 16 of them come back to a board meeting a few months ago and just give their stories to the board and express gratitude for the training and development that they received from Life School, all of them expressing unsolicited that they do not feel like they would have been capable of doing the things that they're doing without coming through our system.
I mean, that's really the determining factor is, you know, we can give our students all the education and all the information, but at the end of the day, what do they do? You know, how does it show up in their lives? So I'm always interested to see the results. That is definitely amazing.
Right.
So can you tell us a little bit, I guess, for the people who are in your area, if they are able or interested in attending your school, what they would have to do?
Yes, I will say that, and also we'll talk to you a little bit about what the future might look like for us. And so first of all, if you're in the DFW area and you'd like to attend Life School, we are allowed to have students from all the school districts in Region 10, which covers all of the DFW area and then some. You just need to go online, and there's an application. It's www.lifeschools.net, and go out there, fill out an application, and as openings are available, well, then you can be welcomed into the school. If there's not openings, which, you know, we tend at most of our schools to have a pretty healthy waiting list, but don't be discouraged by that. And the most important thing to do is to go ahead and fill out the application, because as opportunity presents itself, as we open up new campuses or have space, well, then those students will be able to be brought in. And then I would encourage you to set up a time to come visit. You know, if you want to, prior to applying, if you want to come and visit our schools and walk around and just see if what I'm telling you is the reality, you don't need to be announced. Just come and let me or one of my teammates know that you want to come by, and we'll make sure that you get a chance to tour. Lastly, I'll say is that we are growing, obviously, but we're being very, very intentional about wanting to expand more, but not just Life Schools, to expand our thinking and our learning from the last 20 years to other school systems. And so we are reaching out to other school systems to say, hey, maybe you don't want to become a Life School, but you want to get some of the intellectual property that we have. You want to learn some of the systems around human capital management or around delivering academics or leadership and character development. We'd be happy to sit down with any school system of any type and talk with them. Again, we do not care who educates the kids. You know, obviously we want to continue to grow and expand, but the point is to educate kids, and we don't want to waste one child's life while we get our act together or while we expand to another location or help someone. We want to get it done as quickly as possible, and we want to have people, like-minded people who have like goals on board as quickly as possible. And then very specifically, we're also working on a project called Project Patriot right now. We're finding that the woes in public education are amplified on and near military installations around the country. And so one of the things that we're doing right now is working with various bases to open our schools on or near those military installations. It won't be singularly set apart for military personnel, but it will be have systems in place to help them, but also the civilian populations around them will be able to take advantage of that as well. And then we are also just expanding our regular school system as opportunity presents itself. And so we're looking for partnerships across the country. We're looking for ways to pour into other school systems. Project Patriot's an opportunity, and certainly there's opportunity here in DFW. Even if you have, you know, I'm giving you a lot of information, but a community partner. You know, right now we run a couple of our schools in operating churches. And so what we can do is come in and lease the space, the academic space they have during the week, and have a school there. As a matter of fact, we have one of those partners, and we have 1,050 students in that building throughout the week. And so win-win for all parties involved. And so if there's some educational space, be it church or some other community building, that's not being used during the week to its fullest, then we would be interested in talking to anyone about that as well. And that includes across the country.
Well, fantastic. And what we want to do here at Punch TV Studios is invite you to join us on our social media network, which is called Nabuki, nabuki.com, N-A-B-U-K-I-E, nabuki.com. And what we do with Nabuki is Nabuki allows us to invite and welcome all of our guests, all of our listeners into the Punch TV family. So you can not only find out about what we're doing, but we can also follow what you're doing as well. So as you have announcements,
excellent,
as you have events or anything that's going on, please post it on nabuki.com. Again, that's N-A-B-U-K-I-E.com. It's completely free, but it allows us to follow what you're doing. So we definitely want to invite you to do that, and also to thank you for being a guest on today's show. It has definitely been informative, and it has been our pleasure.
And thank you. It's my pleasure likewise. Thank you so much for having me, and I'll make sure I get on Nabuki.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So if you are just now tuning in, today has been amazing. It's Monday. We started off the show. We started off the week amazing. We have spoken to Mr. Charles Pulliam of Life School in Dallas, Texas. If you missed that, please listen to the show in the archive, because the information that was provided is something that you, your children, need to listen to. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop for a brief commercial break, and then we're going to be right back.
CEO Joseph Collins and Punch TV Studios have been broadcasting for the last 8 years, and for the last 2 years, Punch TV Studios has been producing TV shows and movies for license to major studios and TV networks all over the world. You can purchase your IPO stocks today for only $1 per share as they near their fourth quarter deadline. You could be a part of history as Punch TV Studios vies to be the first African-American owned company on the New York Stock Exchange. Join the Punch.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki? As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the filmmakers group at Nabuki.com and network with industry professionals. Do you, Nabuki?
thank you for joining us. If you are just now tuning in to Changing the conversation is really about to get hot. It's going to get steamy, and we're going to talk about sex, TV, movies, women, men. I don't even know what's going to come up. We never know what is going to be said in the punch bowl. But again, if you're listening to the show live, feel free to listen, but if you want to jump into the punch bowl and join the conversation, press 1. If you're listening to the show on your computer, give us a call, 657-383-1974. Again, that number, 657-383-1974, and please press 1. We have a couple of guests that are joining us. We're going to have our co-host, Damian Randall. We're going to get a man's perspective on the movie Girls Talk. We also have one of our friends in entertainment who decided to jump into the plunge bowl and share her thoughts on the movie Girls Talk, Girls Trip. We're going to have a little girls talk about Girls Trip. Are you with us this morning, Emendisa?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Good morning. Before we talk about the movie, give us a little bit for our listeners on your background and just a little bit about what you've done in entertainment.
Oh, boy. Well, I've been in some form of arts and entertainment since I was about 3, performing, singing, dancing, acting, all of that. but my background is mostly in theater. And so I kind of come from that perspective. My acting training comes from Japan. My acting professors at the University of Washington were the first Americans that were allowed to bring this Japanese art form to America, because the creator, Tadashi Suzuki, he doesn't really have a lot of respect for the whole glitz and awards and the red carpets and all of that. He really believes that an actor has a job to do and that it's more like a path of life. And so, you know, my perspective about the entertainment industry comes from more of a holistic place. But, you know, I've been around it, so, yeah, I got a couple opinions, strong opinions.
Definitely. That's why we wanted you to be in the punch bowl this morning, because we were discussing Girls Trip. And I'll go ahead and state for the record, again, this is Sharifa Hardy speaking, that I have not seen the movie Girls Trip. I have not seen the movie, but I did see that they raked in over $30 million this weekend, and I did see everyone on social media was raving about the movie. All of my friends, female friends, they got together, made these little Girls Trips to see the movie, as well as I seen the reviews, and the reviews came back that it was hilarious, and this is definitely Tiffany Haddish breakout movie. So if anyone, you know, hasn't seen it, there's some names in there. You got Jada Pinkett Smith, you have Queen Latifah, you have Regina Hall, and Tiffany Haddish is definitely making all the rounds. But the movie itself, Girls Trip, is based on the trailers and based on what I have seen, is a very sexual type movie. And the reason we decided to discuss it is not really because of all the reviews, but specifically because Dr. Boyce Watkins came out with his own video, which basically said that the movie made him very uncomfortable, that women, especially black women, should not go and see this movie because they have one of the highest rates of AIDS and HIV out of anyone. And he was just talking about how Hollywood should be more responsible. So I guess being Hollywood, you know, because we have said and stated we are Hollywood as a television studio and a television network, you know, there's some aspect that we represent Hollywood. So I kind of wanted to discuss my thoughts, our thoughts, you know, get some common callers to call in and kind of discuss their thoughts. Because the main thing that I saw when I saw Dr. Boyce Watkins' response is, okay, does that mean that we only have to make a certain type of movie? You know, we can't make a movie that's fun. We can't make a movie that's, you know, maybe to a certain extent a little irresponsible. But, you know, what is our responsibility? What is your thoughts on that, Emendisa?
Well, coming from a theater background and watching a lot of movies lately, I think Hollywood has lost their mind. I really do. Everything is so over the top. In theater, we leave things to the imagination. And what I feel that Hollywood is doing right now is they're insulting their audience's intelligence by not leaving things to the imagination. You know, just the vulgarity and the over sexualized jokes, and I just think it's too much. I think we've really lost the art form of acting. We're just making movies. We're not acting. You know what I'm saying? And with my acting training being from Japan, we're taught that our bodies are vessels and that we're just messengers of the story. And I think that that's a lot of reason why there's so much weird stuff. You know, they call it Hollyweird. Why so much stuff goes on in Hollyweird is because when you're an actor and you open yourself up to become a vessel to do, you're not just playing a character. You know, there's a aspect of that that either comes from within you or gets within you when you play a certain character. So I just think that there just needs to be a little bit more responsibility, and Hollywood has just run out of ideas, and they've become very stagnant, and we're just taking stories and repackaging them and retelling them, and then feeling that since sex sells, we get away from the storytelling and we focus on all the sexual stuff, and we just don't leave things to the imagination anymore. You know, two people going into a bedroom and closing the door and some beautiful music playing pretty much tells you the same story. You know what I'm saying? And I just think that we're insulting our audience's intelligence by overdoing stuff. You know, I'm all for, you know, showing the whole human experience, and sex is a part of it, but just the movies I've watched lately just have had way too much, and I was almost like insulted by it, actually. I'd really like to see the movie, because I haven't seen it myself, and I love Jada Pinkett and I love the Queen, but I also know that there's a certain line that everybody has to toe right now with all of this, you know, over sexualization and getting away from storytelling.
So one of the comments that, and again, we have several callers on the line, and if you want to comment on any show, this is the show to comment on, because we want to hear people's thoughts on the movie Girls Trip. But back to your comments, Eva and Disa. So I guess the question is, does life imitate art, or does art imitate life? Because most people, from what I saw, or at least the people around me in the comments that I read, didn't necessarily have a problem with the movie. They felt as is life today. This is how we operate today. It's common. It's normal for four black women, because that's what they were, but four black women to take a trip and in the process of this trip have sex, and that's completely okay, and to have one night stands. And that's completely okay, and because it's something that's normal. It's not something that is a stretch for them. Like, you go, oh, my God, these women went on this girls' trip. There's no way possible that they would actually, you know, have a one-night stand. But, you know, in 2017, it is more common. It's more acceptable. You know, it seems that we have gotten away from, if a woman decided, especially a black woman, decided to go out and do such things, that everyone else would be aghast. You know what I mean? They would be talking about her in church on Sunday. She, you know, if they found out, oh, my God, you know, they were just doing all these things on this trip, you know. So is it because it's more common and it's more acceptable, so that's what we, you know, portray on television?
Right. Well, like I said, I would like to see the movie to be able to give my full opinion on that versus where the direction I think Hollywood's going. So I don't know if this particular movie, you know, showed that, but yeah, I believe that it's all intertwined. Life imitates art, and art imitates life, you know, it goes both ways. But I think that, you know, the story was told, so that is a feasible story. I could see some me and my crazy girlfriends going off and going on an adventure, and that particular scenario happening. And I guess
we're going to go on a trip and we're going to have some fun.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, and with my crazy girlfriends, I don't know what we're going to end up doing, you know, so, you know, I think it's feasible. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just like, you know, but you know, when they overdo it is the problem. And I don't know if they did that in this particular movie because I haven't been able to see it.
I think overdoing may be a question, but I think the main question in the movie was because they had sex on this trip. You know what I mean? These are one-night stands. This is not relationships. These are not casual relationships. This is like we going out, we getting laid, you know, and there were comments about, oh, you can't get an STD in your booty hole. Like, it was so many things where you're like, okay, is this the message that we're putting out? So we're going to continue to discuss it, but we're going to open up the phone line. We do have a caller who has a question or a comment. Z, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Yes, we can hear you. So go in. I don't know if you heard the introduction. We're discussing the movie Girls Trip. We're also discussing Dr. Boyce Watkins' response. And his response, and I quote, was, "This movie makes me feel very uncomfortable." What are your thoughts? Go ahead and chime in with 4Z.
Okay, well, I haven't seen Girls Trip, but I did hear what she say. Hollywood has gone crazy, and I agree with that. Hollywood has gone crazy. They are too extreme. I think that they go too far with the sex. And just like she said, the caller, the one that's doing the one you're speaking with, said that you can close the door, and nice music can play, and you can imagine what's going on. You don't have to get right down dirty in the dirt with stuff, you know? And I think that they have gone too far. I think the more filth, the more animalistic we become, the society is not as kind and gentle as it was. It's ridiculous now, and then we wonder why all this foolishness, crazy stuff takes place in the In the world, in society, we are reaping the grapes of wrath that we have planted. And especially with the, you know, there are ways that Satan gets to us to ear gate the eye gate. Okay, Hollywood has control over the ear gate, what you hear and what you see. And, you know, going back to the Cosby Show, Claire and Cliff Huxtable didn't act like that. I mean, I haven't seen all of Girls Trip, but I've seen enough of it and of the trailer to kind of know what it's going on about. And you don't have to do that to have good, to make people laugh. Like Sinbad, he never curses and he makes people laugh. And so we got to get more creative. We got to get more cleaner. We got to clean it up because we're talking to our children and we don't want them to go astray. We got to clean it up and do better. And I think she's absolutely right. I think Hollywood's going crazy. And they need good material like they're going to get from Bounce. I mean, not Bounce.
Yes, absolutely.
Punch. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so let me ask you. If Hollywood develops a movie where four black women are going on a girls' trip, maybe they go to a day spa or maybe they go wherever, but in their trip, there's no sexual activity, there's no, you know, they're not at the strip club, they're not doing those things. So my question for you is, do you feel as if it would have the same box office result as opposed to, you know, this highly sexual movie?
Yeah, I think it can. I think that's where good writers come in. I think the imagination, I think it can be clean, it can be just as good. And it can make money, and it can make a better society. I think not only are we responsible for money, we're responsible for the pulse, the heartbeat, the way people act, think, and react. I think movies are responsible for that. And so Yeah, I think we can. They can have the same effect. But you're going to have to get good writers and leave things to the imagination, like she was saying, and purpose. And it can be a love story. It can be a fun story. It can be a lot of things added in there and be just as effective.
E. Mandisa, same question for you.
Oh, absolutely. A good story always sells. A good story always sells. And they had a powerful cast, you know. I would go just see it just because my girls are in it, you know.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, a good story always sells. A good and like I said, Hollywood has gotten away from good storytelling, and they're relying on fart jokes and sex and everything because they've run out. And see, that's why Seattle's getting ready to take over, and a lot of the other places are getting ready to take over from L.A. and New York because the writers and the actors and everybody, they're stagnant. They're not inspired. They're telling the same stories over and over again. Look how many stories from our childhood that they're repackaging. Starsky and Hutch, Charlie's Angels, all this other stuff. They're repackaging stuff and retelling stories because they don't have good storytellers. And the good storytellers that they do have in these areas aren't getting their shot. And that's where Punch TV comes in. I had to do that really quick plug in there, you know, because y'all my homies and stuff, you know, and I see what y'all doing.
Exactly. But, you know, being that, you know, the network's been around for 8 years, but the studio's been around for 2 years, and we're focusing more on production. And so we're trying to learn and reach out and ask the right questions before we go down certain roads. And one of the things is, especially in the African-American community, is we are held to a certain standard to where, you know, we have to represent our people in a certain way. For years, we've always played the pimps. We've always played the hoes, the prostitutes. We've played the maids. We played the butlers. You know, so now, you know, again, in 2017, we feel like, okay, this is our time and our opportunity, so we're held to a certain level of responsibility that many other cultures aren't. So if they make a movie about a girl's trip or these girls hanging out and having sex this whole time, nobody really cares. But when black women, you know, have a girl's trip, all of a sudden everybody has something to say about it. So should the studio be held to a certain level? You know, should we have a certain responsibility that other studios don't necessarily have?
You mean Punch TV?
Well,
I'm sorry.
I think that your only responsibility is to tell a good story. And if there's a good story in these women having these one-night stands, that's a whole different story than you just doing it to have gratuitous sex, you know, just to show sex to be having sex. So you think that's the only way you can get butts in the seat. Just like as an actor, I always say, I'll play a prostitute if you tell her whole story. But I'll have a hard time if my agent called me up and said, you know, you got to go on Law and Order and swing your purse and be a snitch. I may have a hard time doing that. But if Punch TV called me up and we said, we had a story about this young woman who has been was molested by her father and all this other stuff, and she went on a girls' trip with her homies, and she was the one running around having sex with everybody because she equated those one-night stands with sex. So just tell a good story. Just if you tell a good story and you don't use these things as cop-outs or as a way to sell the story because you can't tell a story, those are two different things.
So another concern that Dr. Boyce Watkins has is that his statement, not mine, I'm repeating what Dr. Boyce Watkins said, and to a certain extent, the video in its entirety, but it's not in front of me right now. So I will say to a certain extent I am paraphrasing. But one of the statements that he made was, as black people, we are more influenced by celebrities than any other race. So the fact that Jada Pinkett Smith, Queen Latifah. I'm just going to stop with those. I mean, we're not going to go into Tiffany Haddish and Regina Hall, but we know that at least Jada Pinkett Smith and Queen Latifah have a following that's through the roof. They have millions of people who, if they do something, now it becomes acceptable. So is there a responsibility to our young black girls to say, you know,
yes,
it's not acceptable for you to go out and have a one-night stand or for you to go out and think that you won't get STDs just because you have sex? You know, you're not having vaginal intercourse, you're having it in other ways. I mean, what is our responsibility to our young girls in making these type of films? Or on the other hand, is there any responsibility and it's just, hey, a movie?
I think we have a responsibility, definitely. We have a responsibility, and the cream will always rise to the top. Like she was saying, these other ones, you know, this rump-shaking stuff, you got all these rappers with bitches and hoes and guns and stuff. That stuff is played out. I mean, just go on the turn right there. That stuff, back up and get one of those other ones. Okay. That stuff is played out to the max. And so when you have this gun violence in neighborhoods and teenage pregnancy at a magnet, don't think you don't have your hand in it. You've got your hand in it because of your ear gate, your eye gate, and you're showing that stuff around the world to 16 million. I'm not saying you guys are 16 million. You are responsible. But when you have good material, like she said, responsible writers like myself or like you, and responsible people at Punch, you will always rise to the top when you do it well and a good story. So just like she said, the writers, they be getting anybody's writers, and writers must be creative. There is a certain niche of writers that need to be writing, and some people are just writing for money, and they don't know how to write, and that's what they said, let's fill it up with sex and violence. It's just like teachers. You have teachers who are not supposed to be teaching, and you have real teachers. Teachers just come there to make money, or you have those adopted homes, mothers that just want to adopt kids to get money. They're not interested in those kids. They're interested in the money. So it's going to come down to this, you know, some radios, TV stations are not interested in good material. They're just interested in sex and violence and getting – it's the love of money and the love of sales and the garbage they have on these rap stuff, and these kids are killing each other and shooting, and they're emulating them. They're emulating them because they think Hollywood is so great and it's to their detriment. What about the greed and love of money and those who go on these the premise to sex sales? What can be done about that? I just said that.
Absolutely.
So I think Punch TV will rise to the top. They will rise to the top if they do responsible writing and have responsible stuff. That doesn't mean we have to be boring. It's just going to mean it's going to be responsible and be better. And it'll be more respected. All the time that wins, all the time. I've never seen it fail. But if you
Absolutely.
Get in the garbage can with the if you get in the garbage can with the rest of these people, God is not going to be pleased and it's going down. It's going down because that's where it belongs, down. Because God's not about that garbage. It perpetuates more filth, more garbage, and everybody's in the garbage bin with the dogs trying to make some money. Do good material, like she said. Good storytelling. There's a lot of story, good storytelling. The Inkwell, Tuskegee Airmen, there's a lot of stories to tell. And you don't have to have a bunch of foolishness to make money. You don't have to buy. And we have to be responsible, and we are responsible to kids. We're responsible to this generation. We are responsible, and we have to take on that responsibility. And I know I talk too much, Sharifa.
No, you don't. We invited you into the Punch Bowl to hear your thoughts.
So that's what we wanted. I would love for E. Mandisa to answer that question as well. But we have another caller on the line. We're going to take a caller, see your comments. Caller, you have a question or a comment, and you want to jump in and join the conversation?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Awesome. Hi, this is Colby R. Rice. Actually, that's the pen name that I use. But I just wanted to say that I really enjoy what you guys are doing at Punch TV Studios. And I just wanted to chime in on the conversation. I actually just turned on your show. I actually watched Boyce Watkins' video on the Girls Night Out movie that's coming out. And there are a lot of things that I understood and agreed with in terms of getting subliminal messages about Black female sexuality.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay, I can hear you. Is the show on in the background? Because we're getting feedback and it's making it a little bit hard to hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that better?
Yes. That is better. So,
okay.
So didn't mean to cut you off. But I just wanted to, you know, hear what you had to say. So go ahead. Sorry about that.
No,
go
that's
ahead.
Totally fine. Thank you for letting me know. No, but I just wanted to say that I actually watched Watkins' video on the new movie coming out with Jada Pinkett and everyone else, and I completely understand a lot of what he's trying to communicate with regard to us receiving subliminal messages about Black female sexuality, about promiscuity, drug use, irresponsibility, so on and so forth. I understand and acknowledge all of those things, but I guess I come from a background where the interactions between myself and my family and like the way the culture that we had at home affected me more so than the culture that we experience on a day-to-day basis. So I grew up being able to separate the entertainment world and the influence it has on my life from my actual life, you know, and trying to be successful in education and being responsible. And my thing is that I understand both sides of the argument, but I think at some point we do have to kind of take one step back and understand that at the end of the day, this is entertainment. And if you're looking for, that doesn't mean that we should be irresponsible, but if we're looking for entertainment to give us a step-by-step guide as to how to live our lives, I think that that's not really the best approach. There are certain environments and texts that we can turn to for guidance, such as religious texts, churches, schools, you know, certain schools, you know, our family and documentaries, all those things I think are suitable for getting a bigger perspective on the world. But when you look to entertainment, if you look to entertainment to show you the way in terms of finding some sort of following a moral compass, I think that you're consistently going to be disappointed because I don't necessarily think that entertainment is built for that. And this is not to say that we shouldn't have a diversity of faces and roles in entertainment, but I think we're sort of on a slippery slope here when we start to ask entertainment to step up into a role that, you know, Black families, Black women, Black men, Black children should actually be stepping up into the roles of creating the kinds of life and high educational financial outcomes that we are looking to achieve. I think that we need to separate those two worlds. And I say that because I'm a sci-fi and fantasy writer. And so I really enjoy like a lot of, you know, sci-fi and fantasy shows and write in that genre. And so my thing is like, so if I'm writing Black people, Black women, Black men, people of color into a speculative world, should I feel limited in my writing because those worlds are not necessarily going to reflect our day-to-day life? Should we expect every single show with Black people to live up to, you know, an expectation of, you know, raising, you know, standards in the bar and whatnot? I think we should expect definitely a large segment of shows to do that. But in terms of, you know, looking at, you know, just entertainment, I think that we need to have a diversity and variety of entertainment. So in conclusion, I think that you know, the Girls Trip movie does have some very valid critiques, and I completely acknowledge and respect those critiques. At the same time, at least me as an individual free thinking woman. If I were to go see the show, I'm not really interested in watching the movie, but if I were to go see it, there's nothing in that movie that's going to change my core values. And I think we need to really understand where we are developing our core values in our community. So that's all I have to say about that. I think it's just words. I think diversity in entertainment is really what we should be aiming for, not necessarily policing, every single kind of entertainment that's out there, because there's a variety of experiences, a variety of different people in our community. And as long as we're all getting airtime, I think that that's fine. So thank you so much for having me on. Sorry for the long rant.
You made your comment. You're trying to comment and run. Like, that doesn't work in the playbook.
Oh.
So basically, to sum up what you were saying, what you're saying basically is that the Hollywood or entertainment should not be the moral compass. It should be a person's either, i.e., beliefs, religion, or family that gives them that guidance. But back to one question I had on that. Do you feel as if even if a person, you know, they may read scriptures all day, every day, but if they're watching television and this is what is being presented to them as acceptable, do you feel as if that will change their belief system? Or not even their belief system, but the things that they do? Because, you know, we can go back to the Bible. The Bible says that you should stone left-handed people, that people who are left-handed, you know, should be stoned. So when you look at some of the things that people are reading, but then they look at the way life actually is, do we have a certain responsibility to portray life in a certain way?
Oh, that's a great question. And, I find it interesting that you brought up that example about being stoned for being left-handed, because in my personal opinion, and this is no disrespect to the Bible or Christianity or anything, the Bible is like the most dramatic. I mean, it has every single type of drama in it. You want to find polygamy, there, it's in the Bible. You want to find things about adultery, murder, hate, death, all of those things are in the Bible. Now, they're couched in a very particular way, and the way that we translate and allow those things to permeate our communities is very, very curated. This is not to say that the Bible is no different from Hollywood. Please do not think that I am saying that. But I think that the whole point here is that we take the Bible as it is, and we find those things in the Bible, those guidances and those scriptures, we find the things that are going to help us make our lives better, that are going to teach us how to live our lives better. And I think that, again, I don't believe that Hollywood is necessarily responsible for doing that, but I think if you approach Hollywood and what they're putting out with a critical mind, you can learn a lot of interesting things from looking at the media that is coming out there. And I mean, at this point, we're talking about developing a critical audience that is able to basically interrogate and engage with the media that is out there versus a passive audience. And in terms of developing a critical versus a passive audience, I feel as though a lot of that work is done in the households, in our schools, whether you're homeschooling or you're in or in the school system, again, with your religious background or what have you. I mean, a lot of the way you critically engage with your environment is cultivated at home. But at the same time, I will say that research shows that the more you are shown particular images and you're giving particular messages, whether or not they are true, people will start to believe them. People will start to bring them in to their circles to a certain extent in terms of how they view the world and how they engage with the world. But for me, that's all the more reason as to why we as individuals and as families and as a community need to step up to the plate and start developing more critical ways of engaging. Like, my family was very, very, I wouldn't say controlling, but they made sure that they knew what we were being exposed to and what we weren't being exposed to. And if we were getting exposed to things like that in Hollywood, there was a dialogue to a certain extent. And so I think it's just about creating that critical bridge and those intellectual capacities that's important. And then again, I'll just hype on the diversity issue. You know, seeing black thugs and, you know, and black promiscuity and whatnot, I feel as though that is absolutely overrepresented in our media today. And that's the problem. The problem is not that they exist. The problem is that it is being characterized as though it is the only kind of life that African-American men and women lead. And that is not the case. Yes, we do have the, you know, people in the community who are engaging in, you know, criminal activity, but that is not our entire community. So if we have more shows like Blackish that are positive, you know, if we have more directors like Ava DuVernay and Issa Rae putting out those different sides of life, I think that that is sort of the way we should go. And in terms of just getting an equal representation of the diversity in our community. So that's, I don't know if I answered your question. That was long. Sorry.
No, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. You definitely answered the question. We definitely want to thank you for calling, chiming in. We have a few more minutes. We have quite a few. This is, I think, one of our most listened to shows that we've ever done. We have quite a few callers on the line. If you want to chime in, this is the time. Press 1. Make your voice heard. If you have any response or comments to any of the callers who called in, to any of the thoughts, even in response to Dr. Boyce Watkins, if you went and saw the movie Girls Trip and you just wanted to tell us your thoughts, please press 1 so that we know that you want to join the conversation. So, again, we have a few minutes. I'm going to get a couple of final words from Emandisa. Emandisa, what are your final words?
Just real quick. First of all, I want to disagree with Dr. Watkins about it just being black folks that have a celebrity obsession, because I know a whole bunch of white folks. It's our culture. It's our culture to put them on a pedestal, okay? That's number one. Number two, I'm an artist, and I'm just a vessel, and I tell the story. So everybody's story needs to be told, you know? You have to meet people where they're at, you know? Prince did that really well. Because what he did is he drew me in with all the naughty stuff, because I was a teenager. I was like, oh, my God, he's cursing. You know, Michael Jackson's not cursing. Prince is saying naughty stuff, you know. He drew me in with the naughty stuff, and then he hit me with God. He hit me with revolution. He hit me with it's okay to be your own person. That's what artists do. So yes, you do have a responsibility, because media – entertainment, it's being used for mind control, propaganda, to dumb people down, and we have to be able to counteract that. But I think that, like I said, if you just tell a good story and you stay true to the story, no matter where it takes you, if just like an actor, no matter where the character takes me, to my dark side or to my divinity, as long as I'm true to that character, then that's all that matters. So as long as you tell true stories of what is really going on out there and you're responsible with it, and you don't have to have all the bells and whistles and be over excessive or insult the intelligence of your audience and allow them to take the journey with you, I think that if Punch TV is able to attract those kinds of writers and those kinds of actors and those types of producers, you guys will go really far. And with God at the center of everything, it's already written. But I just think we have to tell good stories and be truthful and let them take us wherever they take us, because we need to look at our dark side. We do have girls out there being promiscuous, but nobody's asking why. If we tell the stories that tell why, then these little girls will be like, wow, I don't want to do that anymore. So it's not so much about are we putting out stereotypes and all this other stuff. We're telling stories. Just be really good storytellers and make sure that you understand that this is spiritual warfare and they're using entertainment. Yeah, entertainment should not, in a perfect world, be our moral compass. But unfortunately, in a lot of people that we deal with every day, it is. So we have to be cognizant of that, and we have to have something to counteract that. And like my good buddy Minister Server says from the Temple of Hip Hop, he said, we're just going to put a clean glass of water next to the dirty glass of water. We ain't got time to talk about the dirty glass of water. We just going to let the people choose. Do you want the clean glass of water? You want the dirty glass of water? You want a slice of lemon? You want a slice of lime? You know, in a punch bowl. And That's all I have to say.
Amen. Words to live by. So we're going to offer the people a clean glass of water. We're going to offer the people a glass of water that may not, you know, may have a little, you know, little speckles, a little dirt, a little grime in the glass, but we're going to give the people what they want. So we're going to take some final words from Ms. Z, who holds us down on the Nabuki. What are your final words for us, Ms. Z?
Yes, I hear what everyone's saying. You know, Hollywood should not be the moral compass for entertainment. It should not be, but it is. That is just a fact. And we don't have the dynamic of the family has really changed in 20, 30 years. We don't have the three, you know, the two-parent home. We have one-parent home, if we even have that. We have children raising children. We have grandparents raising children. And when this stuff is open and readily available, they're just eating more and more garbage, and it's fed to more and more. And what we're producing is animals. Just keep going lower and lower and lower. We have to raise the standard, and you can still tell that same effective movie in a responsible way. It can still have the same effect, a healing effect, just like you can talk about the prostitutes or, oh, this happened to me. But how do you get out of that trench? You don't just stay in the trench and you have this, woe is me. No hope. There is hope. And it just has to be displayed and presented and delivered in the correct manner, because we are responsible. And, you know, it just has to be presented the correct way. And that's very, very important. And God is holding us responsible. And it
Absolutely.
Doesn't mean it won't sell. It doesn't mean it won't sell. Don't you think for 1 minute, because you've got some good, clean stuff in there, and I'm not saying don't tell the bad stuff, but it has to be delivered in the right manner. But you can still tell the same story, like the one, what's the one, Ice Cube story, Barbershop 2 or 3 or whatever that one. That was a good story. It was a good story. It got just the same amount of effect, but you don't have to get down in the dirt, in the mud, just to get a laugh and get some money. You don't have to do that. You can do good storytelling, and they say don't use it as a compass. Entertainment, we're going to separate the two. Unfortunately, we have a whole generation, Generation X, the ones that were like out in the wilderness, like with Moses. They didn't have any parents. Their parents would not listen, so God said, I'm going to get rid of these, and the new generation. Those generation, oh, my God, they are different. They don't have the two, they didn't come from two parents, and they have to know that there's another way besides eating the dirt and all that stuff. I mean, we see this over and over. We can't keep producing. It has to be a standard. And you can still tell a good story without laying down in the mud and getting muddy. And it can be just as effective, a better appetite for people who are watching it. Small minds are watching it. And we're just responsible. And if Punch TV follows the right guidelines, God will take them to the top. He'll take them to the top.
Now, Amen.
One last quick thing. Now, Tupac, I ain't trying to offend anybody, Tupac was a very good rapper. Now, he had purpose. His music had purpose behind it. And I'm glad he told it. Now, he had the Black Panther movement. He was birthed out of the Black Panther movement. some of the 60s because of his parents' influence, and then he was able to connect with the hip-hop generation. So he kind of infused all that together. That's why his music was so unique. But some of those other rappers were just talking about, I'll shoot you in the head and take your money, and you this, that. They didn't have any purpose. Or talk about drugs and Jay-Z the Snowman and all this bitches and stuff like that. Their music will never reach the level of Tupac's because it's just a bunch of foolishness. And it didn't have the same purpose behind it. He was infused out of generations who had purpose. Like he was a part of the 60s, a part of the Panthers. And then he mixed the hip-hop there together. And that's why his music is so unique, and they use that as literature in some of the universities. There's a difference. As instead, he had a purpose instead of just some of these rappers who just, you know, well, I want to make some money and I'll just talk about sex and violence and I'll make some money or this and the other. That's a bunch of foolishness and people don't need to hear that. I don't want to hear it, but I love Tupac. I love his music. And so
Definitely, you heard it here. You heard it here. We got our responses. We had our special guest, Iman Disa, who has been in entertainment for almost all her life. Great supporter, wonderful friend of Punch TV Studios. We had Ms. Z join us on today's show. We had the caller call in. We have everyone listening. And all we want to say here at Punch TV Studios, God gave our CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins, a vision. His vision was to make movies and television shows from the lives of ordinary people. And so when we look at ordinary people, sometimes sex, violence, drugs, are things that happen in the lives of ordinary people. So we're going to create the movies. We're going to show tell the stories the best way that we can here at Punch TV Studios. And our mission, our goal is to make great, wonderful television, not just the quick, funny, the instant laughs, everything that's, you know, simple and easy, but to make great television and great movies. So we want to definitely thank everyone who chimed in today for their thoughts, their feedback. Please remember we are on every morning, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Give us a call. Lend your voice. Tell us your thoughts. Tune in. Jump into the punch bowl. We will be back tomorrow morning. Have another great hot discussion on tomorrow's hot topic. So join us 10 a.m. in the Punch Bowl.
Thank you for listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Tune in Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time as we continue to change the conversation in contemporary media. To be a guest or to share your thoughts on Changing the Conversation, visit Nabuki.com today. Don't miss out on the opportunity to be a part of the company that's revolutionizing media. Visit PunchTVStudios.com to become a part owner at $1 per share.